is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you for listening and watching Davin's End. The first part of the show, I had on my private page, so it pays to be a friend with me, apparently. But now it's on the Davin's End Facebook page, so you don't have to like me very much, and you can still watch. It's funny how that works. So let us start with a little bit we call School of Fools. And we'll start with Florida. Florida gets two stories this week, and Florida deserves every bit of it.
Finger on the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
Florida public school students might soon have a required moment of silence at the start of each day under a measure passed Thursday by the Florida Senate headed to Governor Ron DeSantis' desk. The Senate voted 32-6 to pass the bill, HB 529, which was approved by the House last month in a 94-24 vote. Under the measure, school principals would be required to direct first-period teachers to institute a 1 to 2 minute moment of silence at the beginning of each day. Lawmakers have considered similar proposals in previous years, but have not passed them. Under the bill, teachers would not be able to, quote, make suggestions as to the nature of any reflection that a student may engage in during a moment of silence, and students, quote, may not interfere with other students' participation. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. The measure also would direct... The measure would also direct teachers to encourage parents to talk with students, do I have to, about the moment of silence and to, quote, make suggestions as to the best use of the time. Because you know what, with all the shit that we have to talk to our kids about, throw on one more thing. Thank you very much. Senate sponsor Dennis Baxley, Republican of Ocala, said that part of the measure should alleviate concerns that teachers could influence how students use the silent time. It remains very clear in the wording of the bill that parents and guardians are the ones responsible for a discussion with their child about what's appropriate content of that time. We don't want that responsibility on the teacher. And if there's one thing Florida knows, teachers are very responsible. Right.
Well, you know, I'm not laughing at teachers in general, just that Florida had their track record.
You know what? We've done enough of these stories. It's not just Florida. Florida may set the pace, but they're not alone, trust me. Opponents of the measure have argued that mandating a moment of silence in public schools blurs the line between church and state. It would be a good thing if we could all take a moment of silence every day and reflect and meditate, a little bit on things that are important to us. However, the framers of our Constitution were very careful to separate church and state, and they said, no silence! No silence! Said Senate Minority Leader Gary Farmer, Democrat from Lighthouse Point. Senator Larry Berman, a Democrat from Delray Beach, raised a concern about children who aren't religious potentially being made uncomfortable by other students who choose to pray during the moment of silence. Stop praying! It burns so much! I understand that this is a moment of silence.
The pain! The pain of the silence!
Listen, as long as you're going to be on your knees, how about I unzip this? Does that make you uncomfortable? Because now you're making me uncomfortable. Oh, high school kids. Anyway.
Now I'm uncomfortable. I feel cheap.
Well, then you feel as you should. I understand that this is a moment of silence, but I also want us all to think about what could happen in a moment of silence. Could children take out rosaries and start doing the sign of the cross and make other children feel uncomfortable? All right, how delicate are these kids? Could a child take out a prayer rug and start using a prayer rug? Well, that kid's just going to get bullied. Other Democrats supported the bill. We're going to have issues, guys. There's going to be issues, with some drawing on personal experiences. Senator Victor Torres, a Democrat from Kissimmee, said he used a moment of silence to reflect when he attended school in New York as a child. Yeah, but the whole class didn't have to do it, stupid. You see the difference? It's not really the same, you dumb motherfucker. I feel that it gives the teacher and the students a chance to reflect, and we know they ain't doing that shit in class, because we've been doing School of Fools for a damn long time. And whichever whatever region you believe in, that's your religion you believe in, that's your right, Torres says. Baxley argued that the measure is aimed at giving school children a silent, uninterrupted moment just to stop and reflect. And what better way to do it than by having the government mandate it, I say. However you use it, just be still and listen and reflect before you start a day's activity. I just read a piece about where they're proposing this in business operations. That'll be perfect, because the world's in chaos. I'll tell you what, right after the host brings me up at comedy shows, I want them to start with a moment of silence. Now, to be fair, that often happens during my act, but I feel like it would benefit everybody if it happened before my act.
Thanks for making my night easy.
Right. Sorry. Yeah, Joe, you know, it's your birthday. You're an older man. You have diabetes. I don't want you doing heavy lifting. Plus, I know we have a rant coming from you, so I want you to save your strength. I wouldn't want you to burn out ahead of time. I've seen the blog.
I was ready to tee off, and he went, oh, my work is done.
Listen, I've read the blog. I know blood pressure will be raised. I mean, I still love him. I want him to survive the night, so I'm making it a little easier for him. That's what I'm a pal, is what I say. All right. Listen, I got to tell you, I don't want a moment of silence to start the school day. I just don't want it. And I got to be honest, these teachers, and how about the teachers make a moment of silence before they fucking have an affair with a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old? How about we do that? How about we have a moment of silence before we make the black kids slaves in social studies? Maybe that would be a good time. Maybe the teachers need a moment of silence, but the students don't need a moment of silence. Isn't there something more productive we could be doing with this time? And if we do need a moment of silence, what are we going to make this a crime? The principals have to institute? We need the government now doing it? Talk about big government. Talk about overreach. We're going to make a mandate. Is a 12-year-old guy, is a 12th grader going to prison because he wouldn't be quiet during the moment of silence? How the fuck do we enforce that? Do we really need it? It's just so many headaches, and nobody, who was asking for it? I'll tell you who was asking for it, if anybody was. The religious nuts. I know they're trying to say it's not a religious thing, but I guarantee you, there aren't any atheist families that are going, you know what would make school better? A moment of silence. No. We still have kids getting mowed down in the fucking schools. No. We still have teachers having affairs with the kids. But I feel like if we just took a moment of silence to reflect, we could handle all those problems that Florida's fucking known for. That's what we should do.
Well, it's this whole thing. It's like, well, we should have a moment of silence. For what? Yeah, whatever you want to have it for. But what? Yeah, whatever you want to do, we're going to have a moment of silence every day. This is a moment of stupidity. I mean, look. I would say we're going to do something, bring the pledge back. I mean, we could argue, at least it's something.
Yeah. Listen, at least it's something. Listen, I mean, we all did it growing up. Looking back, I think it's indoctrination. But yeah, if we're going to do something, do the Pledge of Allegiance. At least that has a history.
Hear me out. We're not going to fight. But you think it's indoctrination. I think you should have it. At least there's a fucking theme here about something.
Sure. You know what? At least you could go, well, we've been pledging allegiance to the flag for years. It's definitely not. It definitely has nothing to do with religion. At least you could make that argument. This
it's
is like
a theme to argue about. It's about a moment of thought. About what? Well, you know, it's stupid.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys really think any fucking Muslim kid is going to take out, well, maybe a few, but most of the Muslim kids are not going to take out their prayer rug for a moment of silence to start their fucking day. They're trying to blend as it is. They don't need more shit coming their way. Why don't we just put a bright light on them and make them a fucking bully target? I mean,
And also, it's a great idea, and they'll be on a fucking phone, okay? Kids like to be on their phone. A moment of silence, a moment to go on Facebook.
No, Joe. No.
Whatever.
No, Joe. Now they're felons. They're criminals if they go on their fucking phone. The principal's going to come in there and call the coppers. They're going to take him to jail. I mean, listen. I mean,
the coppers.
Well, I mean, it's a law. It's a law. I mean, that's what they're talking about, a law. Joe, this isn't a suggestion. This is a fucking law.
Paddy wagon. Sure. All right. Who's on the phone? Who's not having a moment of silence? Into the party wagon with you.
See, you've thought it out.
and made it racist at the same time.
Well, we do multitask on this show. It's what makes us exceptional.
Look, you know, there's first of all, with the whole, you know, Muslim kids bringing out a rug, by the time they smooth down the edges, the moment is over.
Yeah, really?
It's a bad time to pray.
It takes a long fucking time.
There's no time. And this is not the appropriate use of school time. The fact that we're trying to cram every bit of learning and, you know, socializing and civilizing these kids, we're trying to cram all of that onto the teachers who are already underpaid and overworked. And this is some bullshit right here. You know, there's no way that they're going to stay quiet. This is just another thing for teachers to have to be like, okay, now you be quiet. Shush now, Johnny. I mean, for what?
Right.
This is starting the day with an argument.
And
yeah, it's starting the day with an argument about who didn't shush.
And in the name of...
It's ridiculous.
Like I said...
In the name of...
Like
four,
I said, the, like, if we could argue about the flag, at least it's a fucking topic. There's no... well, whatever you want, but this is horseshit.
In the name of foreshadowing, let's just remember who's in charge and who wants fucking big government. Because that's what this is. This is big government. The days of Republicans wanting smaller government are long gone, kids. They say they want smaller government, but once again, another example. And of course, the Democrats, they're going along with it. I guess they don't want to fight with it. Shame on them who are going along with it. But it's not needed.
Well, yeah, you're right. And the thing about it is it is big government infringement. Now, we talk and you say, well, the days of the Republicans against big government are pretty much over. Maybe, yeah or no. However, the days of the Republicans following the conservative right are not. And pretty much the conservative right on that fringe call the shots. Hence, you've got this bill.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, this is done by the religious people. There wasn't a clamoring in all of Florida. We need this. I know they're trying to sneak it in. Go well. It doesn't have to be for religious purposes. Like I said, no fucking atheists were pushing this fucking agenda. This was the religious right going. We should do this.
You want to know something? I wish they would say it's for religion. At least there's a fucking point. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they know. Well, they know that's unconstitutional. Well, they know that would get them hauled into federal court. They're trying to work around it this way. They're trying to be cute. We'll see what happens.
And because it's so vague of what you could do for that minute, it gets hauled into federal court, and you know the justices are like, all right, what's the deal? Well, it's about what you want to do. Well, it's bullshit, but we can't fucking rule.
Well, I mean, it depends if they look into the intent. I mean, that's what it go to. It's going to pass. I'm sure it's going to pass. I would probably be annoyed if it happened in my kid's school. I don't know how many parents are going to go to bat for it. There'll probably be some. It's just fucking stupid. It's just more government in the way of shit we don't need. Sometimes, here's what you got to understand. Sometimes when you're in government, you feel like you got to do shit. It's kind of like busy work. I used to have to do busy work when I used to work for the man. Unfortunately, I'm not good at doing busy work. I've always been the type of person that when my work is done, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not a fucking good idea. It's good to look, other people would advance because they look busy. This is what the legislators in Florida are doing. Well, all right, let's just look busy. We'll work around the edges so people think we're doing shit, which will lead us into the next story. So, all right, we all agree.
And they're actually doing nothing with everything that's going on in the schools nowadays. This is a fucking thing.
Well, listen, Joe. It's a lot easier to tell children to be quiet than don't sleep with your hot gym teacher. Apparently, I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's not. I can just imagine because teenagers are sarcastic. I can just imagine them doing all kinds of pantomime and standing on their heads and doing all kinds of things that you could do silently, but not just sitting there and reflecting. This is going to turn into a shit show. Yes.
I was an asshole. I wouldn't stay still for Jesus Christ. I'm an adult. I don't stand still for a minute.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, just to play devil's advocate, it is a good way to settle in before the school day. Because it's rush to get into class. People are rushing. It's actually not a bad way to settle in. But when you call it a moment of silence and when you have a law, it changes everything. Where if the teacher said, listen, take a minute, settle yourself in, and we're going to start. Instead
right,
of calling
right,
them.
Right. So at the beginning of the class, you're not, all right, everybody, we got 2 minutes. We're going to settle. It's almost like the start of a show.
Yeah.
You start a show. Folks, the show starts in 5 minutes. We just get it to settle down, blah, blah, blah. You don't do it for 5 minutes, but, you know, but when the kids. Folks, just two minutes, just get settled in and stuff like that, and then we're going to start whatever we have to do, the morning announcements or the lesson or whatever the deal is. But, yeah, when you come down and say, well, this is what it's going to be called, no, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And a teacher knows if their class needs that time to settle in or if they can get going with it. A teacher knows their students after a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right. So I guess this would be, well, yeah, obviously it would be the first series. But you remember when we were in school, everybody's getting in, you're getting settled down, you know, and then, you know, you're trying to get ready for the morning announcements and attendance and shit like that. You know, so for that, 2 minutes would be fine. Just, you know, for each individual teacher to go, all right, you got 2 minutes. But for this mandate, and, oh, do what you want. No, no, what do you mean do what you want? What are you up to? What the fuck are you up to?
Do what you
want. No, it's a sneaky way of slipping in mandated prayer is what it is.
I could probably, right? Yeah, because, what you know, you could see him coming a mile away with this.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, do whatever you want, really. What the hell?
Yeah.
Really? What are you up to? What is this?
All right. Well, you know, listen, in Florida, if there's one thing Florida is, it's active. So they have another law, and this was the subject of Joe's blog this week. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a controversial bill into law on Monday that critics say constitutes a direct attack on the First Amendment and the guise of combating public disorder. I wonder if it combats drunken disorder, too. Just before he signed the bill, DeSantis sought to justify his decision by painting an apocalyptic picture of burning cities, people in peril, law enforcement being told to stand down, all while a flaming meteor was barreling down Orlando. We're not going to let the mob win the day or the Yankees because they suck this year, DeSantis said as he praised the Bills.
Whoa! I got to stop you right there. All right, the Yankees are not. I mean, like, give them a chance. I mean, they sucked a couple of years ago and they wound up going almost all the way. Give them a chance. And I'm not a Yankee fan. You got to be a little patient.
Let me tell you something. If you were a Yankee fan and you watched this effort, you would say they suck. I'll move on.
Yeah. You didn't happen to see the fucking seventh inning of the Met game last week, I guess.
No, listen, the Mets are having a much better year than the fucking Yankees are. Doesn't mean the Yankees. I'm not getting into a whole Yankee thing right now. We have bigger problems to solve. But I will say this, since I'm going to solve a problem. Enough with fucking Gary Sanchez. He's not a starting catcher. Put him on the goddamn bench already. Enough with that shit. All right. See, I saw problems.
Sorry to interrupt you and open a can of worms. All right, we continue.
All right, we continue. So Governor Santos continues, we're not going to let the mob win the day, as he praised the bill's specific protections for, quote, all of the state's monuments. The monuments shall win! Likely a reference to those honoring the Confederacy. Was the Confederacy? Was Florida part of the Confederacy? I don't know.
Yeah.
Were they?
I believe they were.
Yeah. Well, if they're like the rest of Florida, they're probably eating off fucking faces because they had too many bath salts. They were not helping anybody. It's fucking Florida. Fucking Florida.
They were fighting the giant iguanas and alligators coming out of their canals.
Well,
they were busy.
Those were union alligators. Seeking to draw. By the way, what was I watching? Oh, I was watching. Since we're talking about the Civil War, I was watching Tweety and Sylvester. The other day, the cartoon, the Warner Brothers cartoon. And I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was very interesting in light of all that we see in society now, where Tweety was the Confederate little soldier and Sylvester was the Union soldier. Because usually, the Union is the good guy and the Confederate's the bad guy. I thought it was very interesting that Sylvester was cast as the good guy, although I really don't feel he was given the respect as a good guy. But anyway. You know,
watching MeTV. MeTV.
Look, Joe knows the schedule. Yes, Joe. I was.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad we're all watching and intellectual television lately.
Oh, yeah. By the way, quick TV thing: you got to watch Too Cute on the Animal Planet. It's on every seven, like 6 to 7 every morning.
Oh, thank you.
The puppy.
Okay.
I watch with my deer.
Can I get on to Governor Santos? Can I get on to Governor Santos as solving all the problems of the world? Can I get on to the?
Okay, we had to talk about. Listen, we're laying the foundation of talking about kittens and puppies before we get into this next topic because I foresee some shit.
Good idea, Pip.
Oh we got
identified. Yeah. Go to your happy place. Think of your kitties and puppies. Seeking to draw a contrast with Portland, Oregon, a Democratic-run city on the other side of the country, he added that, quote, the state of Florida takes public safety very seriously. I got to be honest. I've seen some videos. I don't think so. Then-President Donald Trump provoked a violent backlash in Portland last summer by deploying federal agents to the city where clashes between right-wing groups and anti-racism protesters had become fodder. Well, that's some fucking writing right there. That's some lefty writing right there, isn't that? Between right-wing groups and anti-racism protesters. Well done, Huffington Post. I like the way you cast this argument. You are correct. Absolutely, HuffPo. It's a nice change from the New York Post, where we normally get our stories from. Right-wing groups and anti-racism protesters have become fodder for conservatives to decry a breakdown of law and order and a violent and authoritarian show of force. Unidentified federal officers dressed in military-style camouflage proceed to abduct protesters in unmarked cars. Well, that's fucking true. That really isn't law and order when you don't know who the fuck they are. That's just fucking scary. You know.
Yeah, that's KGB stuff.
Yeah, we should kind of know who's rounding up the folks. That's kind of a thing that we do here. We like to know who's doing the rounding up, but whatever. DeSantis, who took no questions! Me and Governor Cuomo have a thing! We're no longer talking to the media. Shit could come up! DeSantis took no questions, was joined by Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, and that seems like an appropriate name, who used the platform to overtly threaten people who move to Florida and don't vote for Republicans. We only want to share one thing as you move in hundreds a day, Judd said, addressing an imagined crowd of newcomers. Welcome to Florida, but don't register to vote and vote the stupid way you did up north, or you'll get what they got. Ah, oh, law and order. It fills me with warmth. Jesus Christ.
That's some threatening shit.
We'll get to our boy Grady later on. That's not the main point of this topic, but I did notice Sheriff Judd. The line drew strong laughter from DeSantis. He's like, this shit's better than the improv. I love this Judd guy. He's fucking great. I didn't even have to pay a 2-drink minimum for this. Among other things, the 61-page bill establishes stiffer penalties for violent protesting, allow for a, quote, riot to be cleared if at least 3 people are involved. That's not even a fucking band. That's a trio. And creates a new second-degree felony for aggravated riots. None of these listen, you're rioting. But now it's an aggravated riot. Before you were rioting nicely, now it's a little aggravating. I'm not going to fucking lie. Now you're an aggravated riot. I'm not happy with the way you're rioting. What the fuck does this even mean? Involving more than 25 people. Now it's a fucking riot. Now we're doing something. Now that's a great attendance for a bringer show. Now we're fucking talking. I mean, let's be honest. A riot can't be 3 people when you need to bring more to a fucking bringer show. A riot can't be less than a bringer
show. We're having a riot right now.
Listen, if I'm going to do... If I'm going to do a bringer show, I got to bring 5. You can't have a riot with less than bringer mandates. It makes no sense.
Right. No.
The law also gives the state power to override city and county level decisions regarding law enforcement budgets and opens local governments up to lawsuits in the event they fail to stop what the state defines as a riot. Florida Democrats...
I just got to stop you for once. A bringer riot. Somebody, there's a problem, you know. Well, you didn't bring enough rioters. You know, I got Molotov cocktails. I bought spray paint. Sorry. I can't help you. You can't riot tonight.
But we smashed a window. Is it at least an aggravated riot? Nah, we didn't like that window anyway.
No,
carry on.
I got 10 people who'll break a window. I can't.
Joe, you could have 10 window breakers. Still not enough for an aggravated riot. You're caught betwixt and between. Christ. Florida Democrats who staunchly oppose the bill voiced deep concerns Monday about its chilling effect on free speech and nonviolent demonstrations. This governor and his Republican allies love to talk about the Constitution while shredding it with extreme legislation like HB1. Florida Agricultural Commissioner Nikki Fried, a Democrat, said in a statement, silencing the speech of those seeking equality straight from the communist regime playbook. The criminal aspects of this bill are already illegal, she continued. HB 1 protects no one, makes no one safer, and does nothing to make people's lives better, and we call that legislation. It's simply to appease the governor's delusion of widespread lawlessness. Have you been to Epcot? It's fucking crazy there. And it's frightening to imagine the lengths to which he'll go to strip away the rights and freedoms for political gain. The message from this governor and his enablers is loud and clear. If you disagree with him, you will be silenced a minute before every class. Florida's law passed against the backdrop of aggressive police action elsewhere in the country. In Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, officers arrested and violently assaulted journalists from dozens of media outlets covering protests over the police shooting of Dante Wright. They assaulted journalists. I didn't know that. And just 10 miles from Brooklyn Center, all right, we know all of Derek Chauvin stuff. The actions this new law claims to penalize already have criminals. All right, so here we go. All right, Joe, I will let you have the first crack at this.
Yeah, I think the law is good, and you're saying, well, it's a freedom of speech thing. You have the right to assemble, you have the right to protest, but you don't have the right to burn property, deface property, in some of the neighborhoods that some of those neighborhoods where this stuff has been going on. There was a video last year of an African-American who had a restaurant establishment that was being burned to the ground, and he's pleading with the crowd. It's like, I'm an African-American, and this is a business, this is our neighbor, and you're burning my livelihood. So in the right of free speech, there's a difference between a free speech and destroying property. Property that's costing millions of dollars to rebuild that are coming out of the taxpayers' pocket. So for them to put a handle on this, I think is a good idea. If there are people out there that say, well, it's not right, well, all right, so when the rioters, you know, especially the Democratic Party, if the rioters are destroying property and defacing property, then we'll send the Democratic National Party the bill for it.
Okay, here is the problem with that argument. There are already laws on the books for the behavior you describe. We already have ways to deal with people who loot, commit arson, commit assault. We already have these laws on the books. And to go along with the people, you know, the anti-gun people, again, this is a constitutional thing. When people want to make more laws about that, they'll say, we already have laws. Law-abiding citizens are going to follow the laws. You're just punishing them. Lawbreakers are going to break laws anyway. So it's kind of that argument there. It's not like we didn't have a law for breaking shit and burning shit. We got that stuff. So again, what are you really doing? Again, I think this is busy work. I don't disagree with Joe that those people should be punished. I don't disagree with that at all. Whether they be left, right, center, I don't care what they are. I just think this is more busy work. This is more trying to look like you're doing...
You know what? If we were having this discussion a year and a half ago...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but it's just been elevated to an epic proportion where it's really gotten out of hand. The right to protest is a right, but the destruction of property in the past year has been astronomical, and sometimes you need to take some extra steps.
But here's the problem. We have those laws as the result of the protest, but DeSantis and his crew have offered nothing to remedy the situations that cause people to protest. If we really want to solve the problems, let's get to the root of what's enraging everybody. Let's see if we can tackle that. So, I mean, they're separate issues, I understand, but it goes to my point, this is busy work. It's not like these people weren't being persecuted. We've seen them get arrested. We've all fucking seen it on TV, and nobody on this show has gone, oh, can't you just let them steal a TV? Can't you let them just smash a building? We've all agreed that they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Like I said, DeSantis is just trying to fucking look busy. And, you know, these same people, we have right-wing protests, too. I believe January 6th was a right-wing protest. We've seen them destroy property. We've seen them march on state capitals and all. And we've also have at least six Republican politicians who've been hanging out with the same militias that stormed the Capitol. So it's not a right-wing, left-wing thing. Like I said, I got no problem with prosecuting people to the full extent of the law when they do shit wrong. But we have those laws. A riot with three people? Really? What is that even?
Here's the deal. If those three people are yelling That's not a problem. You take those three people and they're defacing property. You take those three people and they're starting to burn a police station or burning a car or burning a business. That's a concern.
I didn't say it's not a concern. It's just not a riot. A riot. I want a mass of people. I want to look outside and go, fuck, there's a lot of people. They're clearly rioting. I'm going to stay inside. That's not a riot. Those are three assholes. You called the people on January 6th assholes. There was a lot more of those people than three.
Right. But if you start, but like I said, if you have three people, it could accelerate. The people that are getting...
So arrest those three people! So arrest those three people! I have no issue with arresting them. I have no issue with prosecuting them. Let's just not call it a riot. Because now the word riot doesn't mean anything. That's all I'm saying.
But in this past year, the word riot has meant a lot because it's been a lot more often. Now, you might say, well, you know, the whole thing with the police brutality, that's fine. Then have a protest. Don't destroy property. Don't burn property.
We all agree on that, Joe. We all agree. This law has nothing to do with any of that. And with the other things in this law, so now they want the state government to overrule the local law of local government on law enforcement budgets. Talk about big government. A community knows what can afford. Who's paying for it? The fucking taxpayers. They don't want crime in their neighborhood. They know how much they can afford to spend on school, how much they can spend on law enforcement, how much they can spend on trees getting cut down. They know how much they can afford. So this is big government shit. It's not federal big government, but it's state government. They want to take that power away from local governments? Why?
If they feel the police department is overwhelmed and not handling a situation in a certain manner,
But it's not going to happen at the budget level. You're gonna have that mayor call either neighboring towns. That's usually what happens. If you ever lived in a small town, you know, when I was growing up in Bergenfield, they had a place called The Rink. On Friday and Saturdays towards the Rink. It was a big roller skating rink. Bands like Run DMC used to play there. Trickster used to play there. It became a scene in my town. But towards the end, Joe, it wasn't a riot, but it got a little unruly. So then you would see police from Bergenfield, Dumont, New Milford, all the neighboring towns. The towns have ways to do this stuff. They have ways to handle this where they don't...
Was the place set on fire and defaced?
But that's not what... Joe, that's not what this is. It's a blanket thing. They're just making general... This is a power grab. They're making general laws so they can grab power. That's what they're doing. This is busy work. This is the big government bullshit. Do I think it's going to chill free speech? Only if they start rallying. I don't really think so. I don't really think it's a free speech issue. I tend to agree with Joe. If you're destroying stuff, you've kind of left the realm of free speech. You know, it's fun. You can say whatever you want. You just can't break my shit. That's fine. You know, that's fine. I don't know if it's. I don't know if the free speech argument is the best argument. It's probably the argument they have to make. But there are better ways to really get at what this is.
Yeah, There's a couple of things, many things to unpack from this particular law, but one of the things, as far as governance, local governments are supposed to be self-governing, and the thing that, I mean, and this happens all the time, is that, depending on the state, that the state contributes money to local governments, county governments, and local municipalities and cities. So they do hold a certain amount of leverage over these towns anyway, and they can try to shove them in a certain way by saying, well, we will take away a percentage of your grant or your, you know, the piece that we contribute to your budget if you don't do thus and such.
And I just, I just want to stop.
On local government.
There was a time in a former life where you might have a little insight to this. Am I correct?
Yes, it's true.
Okay.
As a citizen too, I have a pretty good insight on how this works and have seen it in action. So there's already that, but this is really overweening control, trying to say, well, we're going to override the laws that the people in your constituency have already voted on. The people that they voted on, those lawmakers have decided that this is how things are going to go, budgetary issues and how they're going to govern. And then the state coming in and saying, no, we're going to override whatever we don't like about your little realm. No. The other thing is that saying that three people, us, constitutes a mob, a riot, is really reaching. But now, nobody here is saying that. Now, if we got together and started with our signs and yelling, and we got all the permits to be there, there's nobody should be able to stop us. That's our free speech. If we start breaking things, the police are already the people designated. Every area in the United States has an emergency response plan in place. So if things get out of hand, there are already rules and people that are meant to respond to that issue. Then it's gone past freedom of speech and displaying your disgust or your dislike for a certain thing. Now it's gotten into you're hurting people, you're ruining things. Nobody here is saying that that shouldn't be dealt with, but we already have ways to deal with that. So this bit of government seems to be a pretty transparent way to say, no, we're going to take care of things the way we see fit, and we're going to clamp down any kind of people that are gathering for something that we don't like. This is pretty big brothery.
Yeah. I don't think it is, in the respect that you've watched city blocks being taken over and held, and a police state, like I said, police stations being burned, with a Democrat leading liberal government saying, "Hey, that's fine."
Yeah, but these laws aren't going to change that. Those were bad decisions by those politicians. These laws are not going to change any of that.
The contention that this law may curtail some of that.
No, it goes back to the gun argument thing. If you're gonna get a gun illegally and kill people, you're gonna do it no matter how many laws we have. If you're hell bent on destroying a city and being an anarchist, you're gonna do it no matter how many laws. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, but one troubling item about this, and I understand that it's the perfect case for you to point to, but we keep going back to Portland, is that is the test case. That was a ridiculous anomaly.
Portland and Seattle were shit shows. Portland and Seattle were shit shows who happened to be run by Democratic mayors. There's plenty of other Democratic mayors in this country that would not put up with that shit. That was just two bad jobs by two mayors who happen to be Democrat. So let's not.
You can make the contention that, and it's also in the story, make the contention that that's what they're trying to avoid, something like that in Florida with this law.
But they don't need this law.
There are ways to deal with it.
They have.
There's already law enforcement.
They haven't been working. I mean, a lot. You can say with the laws and stuff like that, but the damage to property, the damage to businesses and property in African American neighborhoods due to the protesting has been astounding.
But
people, African Americans, own these buildings and
hold
own
on.
Land, and their livelihoods are gone.
Portland and Seattle were not a failure of there not being laws. Portland and Seattle were not necessarily a failure of there being law enforcement. Portland and Seattle was a failure by mayors saying, we're going to let shit happen and we're not going to enforce our laws. Those are just two shitty politicians who did a really bad job. The laws were there. Everything. And I said it in real time as it was happening. You can protest. You can't destroy shit. But at curfew, you got to go home. Or you don't got to go home, but you can't stay on this block. They had the laws to do it. Those mayors just decided, we're going to try this other route. And I think they regret it now. So they don't need laws. It's not a law thing. It's like anything else. When the guy up top or the girl up top is a fuck up, it doesn't matter how many laws you have.
Well, then you might want to make the argument then. Then you're saying, well, the mayors in these towns said, we're not going to enforce the law. The state, with this law, the state will come in and go, well, we are.
Not necessarily. I mean, it comes down to one person. You said DeSantis will enforce it. You could have another politician who goes, we're not going to enforce it. It comes down to human beings.
Well, it also should come down to their emergency management plan. Because, damn, if those weren't examples of emergencies. Whenever you have full-on destruction of property, hurting people, rioting, looting, all of that is against the law and should be dealt with
and by the
maximum
way.
Force possible. But you can't forestall it by saying, you know what, if you guys gather and we, you know, we see one person's lighter go off, that's it. You're all a mob. We're throwing you in jail. That's not how America is supposed to work. We're supposed to be able to.
Now, I want to make one other point. I want to make one other point about this, then I want to get the sheriff. This isn't just a shitty Democrats running shit thing. January 6th, Donald Trump was fucking enjoying what was going on while the Republican governor of Maryland wanted to send in his National Guard while our National Guard was told to fucking stand down. So it's not just a shitty Democrat executive. There could be shitty Republican executives. It goes to my point. You can have all the laws in the world, which we had to protect the Capitol. If you have a shitty executive at the top who doesn't want to do anything or makes bad decisions, it doesn't matter how many laws you have. Okay.
Yeah.
And that, the Capitol Police Department said they had things under control.
No, they were told to stand down and not use the most force they could. You got to listen to how they testify. They testified under oath. But all right, that's not either here nor there. It comes down to a shitty executive. You can make all the laws you want.
Well, all right. So with that in mind, we're talking about Portland. We're talking about Washington D.C. With that in mind, with what we've seen going on both sides of the aisle on this, I still am under the contention that this bill will override any mayor or any part of a city in Florida that is refusing to take steps to take care of a riot.
And I contend it comes down to the executive. It comes down to who's in charge. All right, now I want to get to this. I want to get to the Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, because there was a little tidbit there kind of snuck in this story that I think is kind of a big fucking deal in its own right. In my opinion, when he said, "We only want to share one thing as you move in hundreds a day, welcome to Florida, but don't register to vote and vote the stupid way you did up north or you'll get what they got." In my mind, he's threatening people. Here, you have law enforcement. We talk about law and order, and we're all like, quote, law and order. But you have somebody who's supposed to be doing law and order threatening people. Completely inappropriate. And for the
what he said was stupid, and it's detrimental to the bill. You know, I agree, because he's starting to get, he's starting to throw the politics in there. You know, if, like I said, with every contention I made on this, if I'm saying, but I'm not going, he'll keep everybody in line, you know, not like up north or out north. right, that opinion is not there. You know, it's saying, hold on. Ta-da! I'm in the dark about this. What he said was wrong, and what he said was stupid. His personal opinion on that he should have not said.
Good, we agree. But let's also remember that DeSantis laughed at that. So that's part of this. DeSantis didn't sit there and give him a sideways look. DeSantis liked this, which makes me again going back to this is busy work. This is appealing to his base. This isn't going to the goals that you have in mind, Joe. And I think Pip and I share those goals with you. And this isn't going to that. This is something else. And that's my problem. Problem with this shit. The sheriff revealed everything we need to know about what's really going on. Then when you add in what's going on with these fakakta voting laws, when Bill Barr said there was not widespread fraud, and how they're trying to tamp down democracy because they don't like the way shit's going, it makes somebody like me go, yeah, this doesn't seem on the up and up, even though I have the same concerns that Joe has about not wanting people vandalizing and looting and assaulting people. It makes me think, yeah, but you're not doing this shit for the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the law enforcement basically saying, look here, you Yankees trying to move in on our territory, you come down here and try to bolt that bullshit you were doing up there, and there's going to be consequences. That's almost what he said.
It's also what I've been saying with a lot of things, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, that sometimes they do things that have absolutely no common sense. I mean, if you're going to go out there, I agree with this bill. I agree what they're doing. But with the comments around it, you can't be that stupid. You know?
Apparently you can. Apparently you can, Joe. This is an elected official. And that's another thing. I think we all agree on this. I don't want my law enforcement being politicized. We know law enforcement, you know, they have their political views. But we've talked about this before. You can have your political views. Keep it private. To make that type of fucking statement and to have the governor sitting there laughing his ass off. I mean, it makes it go, all right, you're trying to have a police state. You're making the Democrats' argument for them. You want to tamp down on free speech. To where I said, I don't even know, think this is necessarily a free speech thing. You look at this shit and go, well, you know what? I can make that argument. When I got Sheriff Yuck Yucks over there, cracking his jokes, and Governor DeSantis goes, this is the best comedy I've ever fucking seen. It makes it, you know, maybe they are trying to crack down on the libs.
Look, it's not the brightest thing, but I don't think the sheriff made the comment. DeSantis laughed and said, go get the book and meet me in the office for dates. I mean, you know, I don't think
but don't bring three people, because that's not a bringer show. That's a riot.
That's right,
but, you know, so he just probably laughed at the moment. It wasn't one of the brightest things to do. But the sheriff shouldn't have made that comment. They're playing to their base on that, I guess. Political. But the bill itself, I do agree with the bill, and I think it's a good idea.
All right, let's move on. We'll go to white people rules. White people rules. Oh yeah, yeah. Pip sighs deeply into the microphone so everybody can know. Thank you, Pip. The square where George Floyd was murdered by ex-Minnesota cop Derek Chauvin now is a sign with special rules for white people. The placard at the entrance of George Floyd Square, Minnesota, calls it, quote, a sacred space for community public grief and protest, telling visitors to honor the space as a place to connect and grieve as caring humans. All right, seems good so far. But most of the instructions are listed under five orders for white people in particular. That's a quote, by the way. Decenter yourself and come to listen, learn, mourn, and witness. The first bullet point reads, adding, remember, you're here to support, not be supported. All right. I'm with you. We're good. Be mindful of whether your volume, pace, and movements are supporting to or undermining your efforts to decenter yourself, the second order says. Okay. White visitors are ordered to seek and contribute to the energy of the space rather than drain it. You fucking white drain you. Bring your own process for other white folks. White folks. I feel like I'm doing a comedy bit. White folks mowing like this, and black folks mowing like this. I'm real. What are we doing here? We're doing 90s comedy. You ever notice when white folks mowing, they got no rhythm? And black folks, when they mowing, they have the best hats. You ever notice? All right, I digress. Bring your own process to other white folks so that you will not harm by BIPOC, it says, using an acronym for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color. A fourth instruction tells people to use caution taking photos for social media, especially without consent from people in them. It is not clear whether that is aimed in particular at white people. I don't think that is. I think that's aimed at everybody. If you witness white folks doing problematic things, boy, do I. Speak up with compassion.
Right here.
Yes, that's what the show's based upon. I will speak up, but not with compassion. Speak up with compassion to take the burden off black folks. Black people, you can mourn. White, we got this shit. We've done enough. And black folks and our siblings of color, whatever appropriate, the final instruction reads. Seek to engage rather than escalate so that it can be a learning moment rather than disruption. The welcome sign ends. Images of the sign were shared on social media quickly, and they, as you would imagine, sparked outrage. Quote, imagine what would happen if a 9/11 memorial gave similar instructions to Muslims. Actually, that doesn't make sense. That's a fucking stupid quote right there. It makes no fucking sense. Why is the Post using that quote? What is wrong with you? We just made
because
fun of...
Muslims were the ones that rammed into the building.
That's what they're saying.
I didn't see one. I hear one Irishman on that plane. Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar. They were Muslims.
No, Joe. That was 95 in Oklahoma. That's when the Irishman got when fucking McVeigh got their shot in. But I take your point.
But like I said, I mean, Muslim. Now look, I'm not saying you got to get all Muslim. But you know, it's you bring up it was Muslims that did that.
That's why they're saying that.
Nothing, quote, nothing like trying to stir up more trouble. I can't imagine what would happen if any place had a sign posted with special instructions for black people. Oh, I can imagine. I thought this was about police brutality, another person asked. Apparently not. Others questioned why it only singled out white people, especially given that not all of the officers charged over Floyd's death are white. A very good point. What about mixed Asian, Indian, Latinos? And if there are mixed with white, which rules do they follow? Hashtag asking for friend. And right there, I have to disqualify you, because if you go asking for a friend, I think you're an asshole. Anyway, another wrote, however, a woman named Bella insisted the sign was a result of community efforts consisting of whites as well. Whites. Nothing segregated. I believe if this was vice versa, you'd understand. I'm fine with this, though, she voted. Without addressing the parts aimed at only white people, John Mice also noted that general message sounds like kind advice for any place of significant historical tragedy. I think that's the best point of all. I mean, if it's a moment of reflection, and everybody in the community wants it to be a moment of reflection, I do like the encouragement for being respectful. A woman named Bethany called criticism of the note disheartening. The sign wouldn't exist and address the points if there wasn't disrespect from white people in the square as an ongoing issue. Yes, some white people. We call them assholes. You don't want to be painted with a broad brush. Don't paint all of Whitey with the assholes. Most white people can go there, be respectful. Here's the thing. One of the reasons why Black Lives Matters gained so much steam and we're finally looking at the policing was you saw people, not just black people marching this time. You saw people of all ethnicities, white, Asian, Latino, of course, black. Everybody was coming together for what they thought was wrong. Now you want to single out people? I think you're doing more harm than helpful in that. Just put the respectful things up there and don't single out white people. If Whitey's acting like an asshole, don't worry. Somebody will call him out.
Yeah, that's right. Let's end racism with racism, you know?
That's not the best way.
Believe me. I got a lot to say about this, but we don't have the hours. so we're gonna paint in broad strokes, just for the simple fact of the article. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's kind of, you're doing a disservice. Just make up the rules, but make it up for everybody. You know.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that this is a topic takes away from the spirit of what that place of land is supposed to be. Because now we're talking about this as opposed to talking about George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, police brutality, all the stuff that goes along that, which we've talked about before, and we could talk again another time. But we're not talking about that stuff right now. We're talking
right,
about
right.
Now again, to be fair, all three of us are white. So you know, black people.
What?
Well, Pip's the whitest, but it can't even see her. She's like a ghost.
You're right.
She's like
I'm transparent.
Pip is made of mayonnaise, but. So, but to be fair, African Americans might have a different view. But as I'm saying, as somebody who quote unquote thinks of themselves as an ally, this pisses me off. Now I have to be on Joe's side, and I never want to be on that side. But now I have to side with Joe and go, this is some bullshit right here, and it makes me very uncomfortable to do that, and I don't appreciate it.
I understand it, because what are you protesting? You're protesting police brutality? You're protesting white people? And it's like I said, let's end racism with racism. You for everybody, anybody that walks in there, African American, Asian, whoever, you know, if that's the space that you want, then make that rule for everybody. Don't single people out.
Yeah, it's a way of dividing when you're trying to reach, and if anything's going to change, you need to bring everybody together. Not the best way to do it, but as we see, when you go with, you know, far right things or far left things, left to your own devices, you often come up with horse shit, much as we saw in Florida, especially.
You want to know something? We brought up the World Trade Center site. So you have this, and you probably see the same thing at the Trade Center. Enter with reverence, humanity, openness, and as an invited guest. Care for each other by wearing a mask and asking to wear. Honor the space as a place to connect and grieve as a caring human. Just leave it at that.
Yep.
That's something you would have at the World Trade Center site. That's where you would have it at the Arizona site. You know, you don't have under it. And by the way, you white people, you know, all you have to say is what you have right there.
Yeah. They went too far. The left went too far, as they want to do. It's not just the right who goes too far. Both sides are full of assholes.
I like this show.
Well, you know, what they were trying to do, I understand in a way that they're saying, this is about the, you know, people of color and black people's fight for, you know, to be treated as equals and to be treated humanely by the law enforcement. And they're trying to say that in this space where we're, as a community, mourning the way that this particular person was treated and everybody as a group, they're saying, white people, please don't come in here and make it about you. But by making that sign about white people, they just completely destroyed their authenticity.
They just made it about us.
Yep. It's like, thanks for doing that for us.
Yeah, really.
I know we can suck all the air out of,
you know,
places. Some allies make it about them. I understand. It's like they're saying, chill and reflect, but don't make it about you. And it's like, yeah,
right,
but you just
exactly.
did.
I'll tell you what.
Now,
you know
my position on the whole George Floyd thing, but looking at this as a place of reflection, all you need is those three paragraphs, like they would have at the World Trade Center site and what they would have at the Arizona site. It's all you need to have. It says enough, you know? And if
yeah.
you can't abide by the rules, you're an asshole, you know? You don't need everything else because now you're well, like I said repeatedly, let's end racism with racism, you know?
All right, let's move on to a survey that Donald Trump sent out for fundraising. This is the Save America JFC is a joint fundraising committee on behalf of Save America and Make America Great Again PAC, MAGA PAC. That was the least popular Pac-Man game out there. Did not do well, MAGA PAC. you know how like in Pac-Man you could get from one side to the other of the board? In MAGA PAC there was walls, so Pac-Man was trapped. It was not very popular. So this is a joint fundraising to allocate among the committees as follows: 90% to Save America, 10% to MAGA PAC, but you can divide it differently if you wish. This is paid for by WinRed, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee, WinRed.com. Although as I read this, I think you're going to think there might be one candidate or potential candidate who authorizes. Question number one. Let's get right to it, kids. Let's get right to it, the survey. Which do you identify as? You have two choices, kids. American or Democrat?
Fuck you.
Now,
fuck you.
As we go through
fuck
this
you.
List, as we go through this list, I really don't have a problem with the rest of the questions. But
that just pisses me off.
Yeah.
But it just shows why this guy was never popular. It just like even now, like when you go, wow, I just fucking lost. Maybe I should have listened to my advisors and tried to rally people around me.
Well,
nope. Nope.
Well, is this because the where the confusion is here is I think this is just a pack group. I don't think it's generally from Trump.
No, but you don't think, as we'll go through, there's a lot of very Trumpy stuff in there.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, obviously you can't sit here and go, well, this is from a very left-leaning organization. I think it's a PAC group. The PAC group is going to have their conservative opinions, but I don't think it's directly
Joe,
to Trump.
I have no problem with conservative opinions, but let's not guise it pretend it's a survey. I have no problem with conservative opinions. All right, let's continue. So that's question one. Right from the get-go, you know you're in it. You know this is not going to be like any other survey you get an email. And this was sent to me. This was sent to me by somebody. And I do get Joe Biden's fundraising requests, which I ignore. And I do get Biden's, and they're not like this, I assure you. Okay, how would you rate the state of our nation right now? You have four choices. Seems like a fair question. Especially if I'm trying to find out where the people are. Where do the people rate? All right, let's get terrible, horrible, very bad, or all of the above. There's no okay. There's no good. It all has to be. Are you really trying to get information? Are we trying to make somebody feel better? What are we really trying to do there? Okay. How would you rate Joe Biden's handling of the crisis at our southern border so far? Terrible, horrible, or very bad? It's like, listen, I don't mind if you have terrible and horrible on there. First of all, they mean the same thing. I don't mind if those are choices on there, but shouldn't you have average, good? Shouldn't there actually be choices?
But you gotta understand something, okay? I like Trump. I voted for Trump. I have conservative leanings. I'm looking at, with the exception of question one, where they gotta relax. I mean, I kind of agree with the questions on here. Because that's where I'm leaning. That's who they're sending this to. This could be in my mailbox.
But this was not sent. This was not sent to me by somebody who voted the way you vote. This was not given. This was given to other people. So I'm guessing this is going out to other people besides people with your leanings. Because you know you can get on these lists. I mean, I don't want to be bombarded with this shit. But if I could easily get on these lists, and I'd have this stuff all the time. This does not do you any favors. George W. Bush is a lot more popular now than when he left for office. You feel better about them as time goes on. There's no longing for Donald Trump after you read shit like this.
I don't have the cover page. This group is a right wing group, right? Right wing conservative.
Right,
group.
But you got to figure. Yeah, but you got to figure. Not everybody who's on this list or who even donated thinks this stuff. Like they might have just thought Donald Trump was the better choice over Joe Biden. You should also be trying to get information if you want to run a successful campaign. If you get this back and you feel like a lot of people feel like Biden's handling things very well, you might want to look at that before you run again to figure out where Biden's weaknesses are. For like this one, how would you rate Joe Biden, like on the southern border? If people, for instance, and that is where he's the weakest, by the way, on all the polls.
Yes.
The southern border.
Yes.
But for instance. Example: if 60% of the people thought he was doing great on the southern border, and you were sending this out, really gleaning information, you would know I am not going to make this a point of my next campaign. Joe Biden is very strong here. I am going to look at the other things on the survey. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, I like the one question here: from what media source do you regularly receive your political news? Well, of course, it's MSNBC.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Do you agree we must save the wall? Yes or no? Last I checked, the wall was not under attack. What are we saving the wall from? I don't know. Say again, that's just...
High wins.
Yes, that's true. That's true. The big bad wolf did take down a portion of the wall. All right. Do you agree President Trump built the strongest economy the world had ever seen? I mean, are we taking it straight out of the fucking speeches? I don't want to be too nuanced with this. I want you to know exactly how I want. Do you agree he built the strongest? How about if you're really trying to get information, did Donald Trump create a strong economy? Yes or no?
I know what you're saying. Where they should question Biden on Biden's leadership on certain things, but it's a political action group. They want money, okay? And they're playing to the room. You know, look, if the band is playing a biker bar, we're opening up with Born to Be Wild. You know, we're not. You know, we're playing the fucking room. And believe me, we changed the. You know, going out to gigs. You see, but you changed the set list a little bit.
Joe, your point is taken and probably correct. But also, everybody told Donald Trump for 4 years, you can't just play to the base to win. And he kept on playing to the base, and he got his ass beat. He lost in record fashion. I mean, I understand they're trying to get money for more of Donald Trump's defenses and everything. I understand that. But, I mean, if you're really trying to win, if you're really considering running again, I got bad news for you. Joe Biden is way more popular now than Donald Trump ever was. You might want to figure out what Biden's doing right so you can, and what he's doing wrong so you can attack him.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. I was listening to WOR this morning. Biden's numbers in the first 100 days is better than Trump, markedly better than Trump.
Than Trump ever had.
Right. But here's the interesting, and you're right. And here's the interesting thing. In regards to all other presidents.
Right. I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
It, It's the lowest. Yes.
It's not the lowest. I think it's like the third lowest or something. It's the third. He's behind Obama.
It's down there.
Yeah. He's behind Obama and Clinton and W. Yeah, but also we're a lot more partisan than we used to be. But if you look about the policies that Biden's trying to put forward, the infrastructure, how we handle COVID, he's in the mid 60s, 70s with that stuff. So there's some partisan stuff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a little. I mean, with the COVID, because people are getting vaccinations. The with the infrastructure bill, we got to see how much of the Green New Deal is going to be in it. You know, and watch as there is.
But people like it, and you know, with the tax thing, you know, it's very popular to tax people making over $400,000 for the infrastructure, and to tax business because people finally get it. It's like our country is falling apart.
The thing about it is that they find loopholes, and then there's a shortfall, and they pass it on to the middle.
Well, the problem was Joe. The problem was Donald Trump ran on tax reform, which would have closed the loopholes, but instead he did a tax cut. If Donald Trump would have done the tax reform, which is what he ran on initially, he probably would have been a lot more popular, and I certainly would have given him kudos if he would have closed said loopholes. Yes, I think closing the loopholes is very important. I hope Joe Biden does it. Maybe you don't have to raise tax rates if you actually close the loopholes. Maybe you can leave tax rates where they are. But something has to be done. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Do you agree we must do everything we can to stop the left from raising your taxes, yes or no? Now, this is very interesting here because they might actually get information because, like I said, raising taxes is actually popular. Now, people don't want it on them, but raising taxes on people making $400,000 more and corporations is like 65% in all the polls.
Yeah, but the problem is the raising the taxes on the corporations, they leave the country.
They did that anyway, Joe. They did it anyway. And Apple just
and coming out of a pandemic is a stupid idea.
Well, you got to remember, we just cut it down to the lowest at 21%. And Apple just announced that they're creating a whole bunch of jobs in America. And a lot of the corporations understand they have to do more. Listen, it hurts them that we have awful ports, we have awful airports, and we have awful roads. They need all those things to get us to buy their goods and to get their goods out of this country. They're going to benefit from a better infrastructure, as we all will. So the smart ones understand, go, all right, it's time we pony up. We haven't ponied up in quite some time. Like I said, how they do it with closing loopholes, raising taxes, I don't know. But they got to do something. All right, but that's all right. That's an all right question. I mean, of course, they made it left because it's a partisan thing. But it's an all right question. You can actually learn something from that one. Do you agree with we must stop the left from turning America into a big government nation? Well, we just did a whole thing on the Republicans with the big government, and Trump was a big government guy. So, I mean, listen, that question is for those people not paying attention, which might be the majority of people getting this poll. I don't know. But that's what that is. If you're not paying attention, everybody in power likes the big government. Once you get in government, they want more and more of that power. Left, right, center. That has nothing to do with ideology. That's just humanity. So that's the reality of it. But they won't tell you that, but I will. Let's see. Are you ready to save America? Well, what are we saving it from? Who are we saving? I mean, you know, Biden did a good job with the COVID. But what are we like again?
I think what we're trying to save America from is the radical left of the party being a big influence. Now, what we discussed before the election is what the contention was. It may be not. They would not have it. But however. You are seeing things where the radical left is being more of a motivating force on Biden than expected. So that's a concern.
That is a concern. But if you talk to law enforcement, again, we'll go back to law and order. They'll say the big thing is the concerns from the radical right. That's where they'll say are our biggest threats to democracy. And you have a lot of politicians who are against democracy. You see that in the bills that they're passing where they're trying to suppress the vote. We talked about it on this show. We talked about how not that we have widespread fraud, but if you're really concerned about people showing their ID, everybody has to show their ID to vote. We talked about it. You can have a hardship waiver, and you let everybody get a state.
But the whole thing is.
Hold on, let me finish. Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish.
You have an ID. To expect that you need an ID.
Let me finish.
ID to vote.
Let me finish. So we said if you want to have an ID to vote, if that is your thing. I'm not necessarily against it, but it costs money. Some states have done a hardship waiver where if you don't make enough money, you can get a state ID for free. have a hardship waiver. So if people can't afford to get a driver's license or pay the $10, $15, $25, whatever it is, and not everybody can, they can get a free ID and make that available to everybody. And then everybody has to show their ID when they vote or they vote by mail or whatever. That's fine.
Responsible. If you want to be a responsible citizen, it's $25 to get an ID.
Not everybody has it, Joe. Not everybody has it.
This is about poverty, not responsibility.
You figure it out.
No, Joe.
To be accountable. That's an accountability thing.
That's a poverty thing.
That's a poverty thing.
No, it's an accountability thing.
If you do it your way, you're going to run in problems with the Supreme Court because now you're having a poll tax, which is illegal in this country. If you are making
a poll tax,
it's a poll tax.
An ID to do everything. Take the ID thing. You need an ID pretty much for everything.
No, you don't.
As a citizen of the country, you should have an ID.
No, you don't. That
would be great. Well, people can't afford it. They should be supplemented.
Yeah, all of us can afford it. I'm not saying we need to have
to supplement everybody.
Not everybody. People who are poor. You don't understand true poverty if you're saying this, because there are people who are living every penny to every penny. They have to decide.
Penny to every penny.
No, you got a nice house. You're not.
I would be expected to be a responsible person that's going to excel in the country to get an ID not expect the government to hand everything out.
They're not handing everything out. They're expecting you to do something to be able to vote, which should be your right as a citizen, but there's money attached to that. And there are people who, I swear to God, do not have it. It has nothing to do with them being responsible. It has to do with poverty.
And maybe they need to figure it out. And that's being
that's not an answer. That's not how government works. So what you want is you want to repress poor voting, and that's a popular, although not every
poor voting. I want to repress poor voting. You are a responsible citizen. Start being responsible. You need an ID to vote. You need an ID to do most things. To buy drugs. To do this. To do that.
No, you don't. You know how many cash businesses there are where you don't need an ID? You know how many things that you can pay for in cash where you don't need
As a responsible adult,
I can work three jobs. I can work three jobs in the service industry. I could be a busboy, a bartender, a waiter. I could do all those jobs. I don't need an ID. I'm getting paid in cash. I'm paying my bills in cash or money orders. I don't need an ID. I happen to have an ID, but I don't need one.
An ID to vote, and you should have an ID to vote.
Well, then why?
If you're pulled over by a policeman or whatever, you need an ID.
Those people don't have cars, Joe.
They don't drive.
Joe, they don't have a car. They don't have a car. If they had a car, they'd have the ID. It's a driver's license.
They should have an ID, but it costs money.
Yeah. A car or not.
Yes, they should have an ID. You know how much money our government wastes on nonsense? And again, remember, this is an imagined problem. Bill Barr said there was not widespread voter fraud. So again, this isn't even really a problem with all the shit that's going wrong in the country. The person who Donald Trump put in charge of running the election said, this is the safest election we ever had. Republican politicians time and time again said, when they were confronted with it, we've counted, we've recounted, everything is fine, it's on the up and up. Again, this is an imagined problem. But I'm saying, if you really want to, quote, solve the imagined problem, you have the tools to do it. But you don't want to do that. You want to suppress poor people because you don't think they'll vote for you. And you can't make people pay for something in order to vote because the Supreme Court has already ruled you can't have a poll tax. So as much as you want to argue with Joe, you're on the wrong side of the law and you're a law and order guy. I hate to tell you.
No, I'm somebody that expects somebody that wants to vote to get an ID. And it's a totally responsible thing. And for you two to sit there and go, oh, no, you're very irresponsible. And you're having a part of society that's irresponsible and does not...
How are they irresponsible if they're paying for their family? They're putting food on the table. We're not talking about people who aren't working or doing
something. You know what? Maybe if you got an identification, it might lead you to get a better job or to work to get a better thing. You're working without an identification? Sorry, you're making your own problem. I'm sorry. You know, I with the poor people, you know, this whole thing with the poverty thing, you know, you put yourself, sorry, at a certain level to be that, and to have that. You have a family where you don't have the funds to do it. You need to have a certain responsibility as a citizen of this country or somebody that wants to vote, and having an ID is part of that. Okay? And you might have to make a sacrifice. It's only $25. And I'm sorry, don't tell me that $25 is, if you want this, you should.
Well, Joe, you don't want to raise the minimum wage. I think the minimum wage is $7. So you're talking about 4 hours of their work. 4 hours of their work, which are probably using to pay their bills, put food on the table for their kids. So 4 hours of their work, you want them to get an ID when our government wastes more money on shit all the time. And this is an imagined problem.
But you want to know something? Who told you to have a family when you have a $7 an hour job? You need to have...
People get laid off, Joe!
I'm watching the problem right there. I'm watching the two problems right
now. No, you're not. You don't understand. You've never known hardship, and you have no empathy. You have no empathy.
We do this show, and I have to look at you two both not getting it.
Joe, I gotta tell you, I've talked with Trumpsters on my page about this and conservatives about this, and they think you're absolutely wrong. They think we should, they want voter IDs, they think people should vote with IDs, but they think if people can't afford it, the state should do it. They think you're absolutely wrong.
I'm sorry, if you can't afford $25, I'm sorry, and believe me, I get it, I live paycheck to paycheck, and I count every penny, but if it's something as a responsible adult, in a responsible society, you should have ID, okay? And that's the end of the story.
But it's not the end of the story.
No, the beginning of the story is that you believe that poor people are poor by choice.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Poor people are poor because they choose to have families, they can't afford, they make choices. You've got to make a choice to excel yourself, okay? And that's what drags a society down. People that are a burden or don't have the means or don't make good choices. You want to vote? You need an ID. End of story.
So you don't want to hear from people that don't have money because you don't think they deserve it.
I don't want to hear from people that don't have the common sense to have an identification to vote. You know what? If you don't, if you want to vote, you figure that out.
Well, the Supreme Court says otherwise, Joe. You can't have poll taxes. Take it up with SCOTUS. I don't know what to tell you. Take it up with the Supreme Court. Poll taxes are illegal in this country.
It's not a poll tax.
It is a poll tax. Look up the definition of a poll tax, Joe.
You need an identification. I'm sorry. I disagree with
you. I don't care if you disagree. You need to understand the rules, the law.
You need identification.
You don't.
And if you know what, if you're not going to go it and you're not going to get it, then you know what? You don't vote.
Well, Joe, I can't help it if you're not willing to learn the laws of the country. You proclaim yourself a law and order guy. I can't help it if you think you're smarter than the Supreme Court. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry, you know what? Maybe I am smarter than the Supreme
Court. No, I don't think so.
People are showing up to vote without, where people are saying, well, you could, and it's a Democrat thing. Well, oh, no, we want all the people because the Democrats feast and use the poorer people. And for them to go, you don't need identification, helps their needs.
So the Republican Party is the party of the wealthy people. Is that what you're saying?
No, the Democrat Party is the party that uses the poor and has them in their...
But you as a Republican don't think you'll get the votes of the poor, so you don't want them to vote.
I want them to have identification.
And so do I. So do I. You can give you 33 states have passed a hardship waiver. Make it so the 27 other states pass the hardship waiver, and then we could fix this non-existent problem. And everybody could show up with an ID, even though we have other ways of testing who you are, which I do in mine. They have my little signature.
But they do have a DNA test at the
No, they have a signature. They have a signature, and they match my signature. That's what they do in New York. That I don't have to bring my driver's license. I have to sign, and they say, "Oh God, he's signed the same awful way for 20 years. This must be the guy, because nobody else could write this badly, and nobody else would want to imitate this signature. And I don't have to bring my driver's license." That's how they do it. They can do it. Yeah, there's ways to solve problems. If you like, I said. At the start, if you want to solve a problem, you can solve the problem. If you're trying to do something else, if you're trying to suppress a vote, well, you can do that too, but you're not fooling all of us. That's all.
You need ID, and you need ID. Okay.
Okay, but there's more. Nobody said you can't enforce ID. We just said you have to make it available to everybody. That's all. and a lot of conservatives who are honest brokers, who I disagree with on many things, agree with that. And like I said, well, I've said this time and again, if you think you have the best ideas, you want as many people to vote as possible. If you don't think you have good ideas, you don't want people voting, or you don't want certain people voting. And I've said time and time again, I want the best ideas running, and I want the best ideas to be voted for. I don't care if they're left, right, or center. If I was running, I'd be confident in my ideas. I would want everybody to vote. I would want high voter turnout. Donald Trump said it himself, and then we'll move on. If everybody votes, the Republicans will never win again. He knows they can't win. He knows they don't have ideas. And we're seeing this because they're fighting culture wars. They're fighting imaginary problems. They're not solving problems. I really wish we had a strong conservative party that actually had competing ideas. We don't have that, unfortunately, and it's to the detriment of the country, because whether the left is left to their own devices or the right's left to their own devices, bad shit's going to happen. I wish we had at least two, if not more, healthy parties with competing ideologies that were actually trying to solve problems. But we don't. So that is, this is what we get. A very unhealthy democracy.
Yeah, so we do.
We should move on.
Neither party is serving the poor, and if we have the idea that the poor choose to be poor, well, then that's a population that will never be served.
Yeah, if it was just a matter of choice.
That's a population that needs to serve themselves, okay? That needs to serve themselves. If I'm poor, okay?
Yeah.
If I'm poor, I don't have a family. I don't start a family.
What happens if you, Joe, what happens if you already have that family and you get laid off? Or what happened? And now you can't afford your house. And now you can't afford to put food on the table. You were living a very comfortable middle management job at some company, but then they decided to downsize. Or then COVID.
If you had a middle management job, you would have had ID. You have ID.
But, you know, you're talking about people deciding.
You're telling me that you're working in a middle management job.
No, you just said people who are poor. I'm talking to your poor argument. I'm talking to your poor argument. You said people who are poor.
You just brought up the middle management.
No, you said people who are poor chose to be poor and should not have families. I am telling you, not everybody who ends up poor starts out that way. And now there are people who start out poor, and if you start out poor, chances are you live in a bad community. Your schools aren't good. The teachers aren't as good, because if good teachers want to work someplace else. So you're not getting the education. You're not having the test scores. Or maybe you do even have test scores, but you don't have the money to go to certain schools where you could get a good education. There's all these obstacles in the way. And what else we do by hurting these people?
And one of them is not being responsible enough to have identification.
No, that's not something that's being taught. Listen, if we went to your argument, okay, don't start a family, don't have children. Okay, well then let's limit their access to proper birth control at every possible mark. Let's not teach them about. Let's not teach them about sex education in school. No. Listen. If you're going to limit women in particular's access to birth control by saying, oh, you know what, if you perform abortions or give any abortion counseling, and you also give birth control information and provide it, then we're going to cut your access. So now women have to travel hundreds of miles in some cases to get accurate birth control and get health information about reproduction. Okay, you know what? Or we have people that are living penny to penny and they don't have access to proper and completely reliable birth control. Then you know what? You people are not allowed to sleep with each other ever, because you might have a child and then have to provide for it.
Maybe
you know,
that's there are something they should think about.
Why don't we just tie their tubes so that they can't reproduce
like
at all?
I discussed.
See, Joe doesn't want to live in a democracy. Here's the thing, Pip. What you have to understand is, a lot of the Trump people, they think they're democracy. They're kind of authoritarianism. They want daddy to make the rules for things that there should be rules for.
It's an accountability thing.
It's also a poverty thing, and we don't address it, or we cut the funding for everything that would help people get out of the hole. Because I tell you people, it's not fun to be poor, it's not fun to not have things, and it's not always your fault. that you don't have things. When everybody, when the way that, like, fines, traffic fines, all kinds of things, the way they impinge on poor people is much greater of a burden than they impinge on
the rich. Well, I told this, Pip, to your point. Pip, to your point, I told the story. I told the story when I was in court. I said it after it happened. When I was in court for speeding, and a police friend made a phone call for me to help me out. I had means, and they completely waived my penalty. What I did, there was a homeless couple there that was fined $100 for parking in a non-parking zone, because that's where they were sleeping. They were sleeping in their car. So to your point, now I wound up paying that for them, but to your point, yes, once you're behind the eight ball, the government is set up to constantly keep you behind the eight ball. It's not always there to lift you up. So, I mean, yeah, it's exactly to your point. I mean, yeah, Joe, we could have your way, but...
If you saw no parking, maybe you wouldn't have parked.
Okay, Joe. I'll tell you what, Joe.
So poor people should be perfect so that they don't get further behind, because that never happens.
Yes.
You don't get sick and not be able to pay the medical bills or pay for medication.
You would not.
That never happens.
Joe, you would not enjoy...
You'll lose your job, lose your apartment. That never happens.
You would not enjoy living in the world you profess you want to live in. I can tell you that. You want to live in a very cruel
world. Well, whatever world that is, you should be responsible and you should have an ID.
Well, you know what, Joe? Maybe your dad should have been a little bit more responsible. People make fucking bad decisions. What do you want me to tell you? Perfectly good people.
One thing, I have his wallet, and you know what's in his wallet? An ID.
Yeah, well, but a perfectly good man made a perfectly awful decision, and I'm not talking about having you as a child. I'm not talking about that, although that's where the logical thing
goes.
Perfectly good people make bad decisions, and bad shit happens. Just the way life is. I'm glad for you that everything has worked out, and you've never fallen over hardship. I'm happy for you, and I have not fallen.
Well, you gotta understand something. I was 3 weeks away from bankruptcy 4 years ago, so I know what it's like.
Bankruptcy is not the same thing as destitute poverty.
You need to have, as an adult, as a responsible adult, you need to have ID.
Bankruptcy is something that middle class and wealthy people claim. That poor people.
As a responsible adult, you need to have ID.
Poor people get thrown out of their homes and all their shit is on the curb.
Yeah,
that's what happens here.
You know, Joe, I really feel like you should really work in a. You should do yourself a favor. You should do yourself a favor, volunteer in a homeless shelter or a church, and talk to some of the people. Hear some of their stories. You'll hear all different stories. Some you will probably say, you know what, you made bad decisions. It reaffirms what I thought. And there'll be some where you go, wow, there's nothing you could have done about that. You just got a bad deal.
Exactly. You get a bad break. Okay. As a responsible adult, you need ID. Regardless. End of story.
But you don't. That's the thing.
But we're not going to change his mind.
No,
so I think
no.
I suggest moving on.
Yeah. But you know, listen, it explains a lot. All right, outstanding displays of spite. Here we go.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce outstanding displays of spite.
All right, an upstate New York couple may finally solve the mystery of who's been tossing used coffee cups in their front yard for nearly 3 years. I guess it was not a Starbucks cup, because then their name would have been written on it. Edward and Cheryl Patton told the Buffalo News they tried mounting a camera in a tree in front of their home. They tried mounting the camera, or the tree.
You know what? That's really kinky.
It certainly is. Talk about getting woody. Anyway, in front of their home in Lakeview to catch the phantom litterer. But it wasn't until some neighbors got involved recently and followed the minivan and jotted down its license plate number, and there was a break in the case. The Buffalo police were working round the clock on this. After Edward Patton called police, they waited and pulled over a vehicle driven by 76-year-old Larry Pope, who Cheryl Patton said had once worked with her and had disagreements with her over union issues. Pope was charged with harassment and ticketed for throwing refuse onto a roadway. I found it very hard to believe that someone I knew would do something like that, especially at his age, Cheryl Patton told the news. The Patton said the littering has stopped since Pope was pulled over. A message was left on the phone at Pope's house, and nobody called. Well, I'll give Pope this. I mean, it went on for years. And in that case, it's pretty impressive. I mean, the pettiness that this man is able to hold is certainly very admirable. But as far as throwing a cup of coffee, a used cup, that's not really going to aggravate me that much. It's very low on the spite range.
No, you know, something like, it's something small like that that'll bug the shit out of you. I had my mail, at my old house, I had my mailbox stolen. They stole my mailbox. And then what they did was they put, made a mailbox out of coffee cups, but fuck you on it, and put it there.
Why, Joe?
No!
But from the past conversation, you seem so passionate and kind. Why would anybody do like that to you?
I guess I yelled at him or something like that. So not only that, they made a mailbox out of a McDonald's cup and wrote asshole's house on it, I think, something like that.
Well, they know the right guy.
So I took that down. I went and got another mailbox, and I put that mailbox there. That mailbox was there for another year, maybe a year and a half. They stole it and then put the other mailbox back.
That's outstanding.
And it's like,
and the old one? The original one?
The original one.
And they held on to it for a year?
These motherfuckers. And my whole thing was, look, when I was a kid, I would just hit the thing with a mailbox or set it on with a baseball bat and set it on fire and call it a day. I go, they're playing fucking head games with me. They brought the other one back.
That's astoundingly petty. That's amazing.
So I replaced that mailbox and I put another mailbox in. I took a post. And I cemented that in about 2.5 feet deep with cement. And then I put the mailbox over it and put these bolts through the whole thing. And that thing stood there for years. Now, I went past my old house a couple of weeks ago, okay? They redid the whole front. The only thing redid the driveway. The driveway's been moved. The wood post is still there because they can't get it out. I'm like, he can't get it out because I was not fucking around that day when I set that post. Nobody said he can't figure out how to get the fucking thing out of there.
Yeah, but you got you got to give it to the mailbox thieves. They made their point. Yeah, that whole time you were thinking.
Yeah, no,
you're thinking they might come back. You did not. Your mailbox did not feel safe. You're like, they could come back at any moment here. I need to bolt this shit down. Kudos to them.
Hey, really, to fashion a mailbox with asshole's house on it and put it on there and steal the mailbox, and then me to put a new mailbox there and for them to steal it and put the old one back. You know, look, just hit the thing with a fucking bat and be done. Don't fucking play head games.
Oh, they were.
I got time for that. So get back to this thing with the cup. With the cup, yeah, it's just a cup. But over the years, that's enough to drive you fucking mad.
I guess.
Oh yeah.
I could see it annoying my wife. I could see my wife being very irritated by this.
Who's putting this cup? Why is this fucking cup? Who's doing it? And it's not like, you know, once or twice. It's every fucking week.
I do have a petty streak, and I can totally see myself being the old dude in the car throwing the cup. But the thing is that because everybody has got like a doorbell cam and stuff like that, I wouldn't dare do it because I know I'd be caught, and it would be like so amazingly terrible to be in the newspaper. This, you know, with your picture, this asshole's been throwing their cups in people's yards for another decade. Yeah. It's like I don't want that. That karma. I don't want to be in the newspaper for something like that. If I'm going to be in the paper, I want to be in there for a murder. I want to go all the way.
if I caught these kids that were doing it, I'd be like, I got to level with you. I don't know, you know, because I used to do rotten shit in this neighborhood too at your age, and I don't know whether to smack you across the head or give you kudos.
I know, it's like, well done, sir, well played, because that's some outstandingly spiteful shit that you,
no,
oh my,
yeah.
I can't believe, you know, but they're also bad crooks because they kept the original around, like, you know,
that was the kicker, that was the kicker, That was the – all right, you stole my mailbox, all right? You put one up, you wrote asshole on it. Apparently you got a problem with me. I kind of laughed a little bit on creativity, okay? When he stole the other mailbox and he put the other one back, I'm like, all right, now you're fucking with me.
That's so amazing. Imagine you had an idea who it was, and you see the garage open, and you sneak over, and you see a year later your old mailbox on their shelf. You'd be like, are you kidding me? Who keeps the evidence?
I know who it was. It was Joanne. She did that. Right, let's...
She was just as baffled as I was.
Well, that's how she acted. She's not gonna sit there and fucking giggle. She wants to seem like she's on your side with this thing. Meanwhile, she was fucking giggling. Look at it. I got stupid running around.
The same thing you said at the beginning of the story. Who did you piss off? I don't know. Maybe it was the neighbor. I mean, there was people of interest that I had.
Well, you have a way. You have a way about you. But anyway.
Who did you yell at? I don't know.
Could have been anybody.
Everybody.
Anybody who crossed paths with me. All right, let's take our final break and do some scammy scammers when we come back. On the break, got new music from Rejon and Sir Gladys featuring DJ Shillings with World of Freedom, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. We also have music from John Carr with Never Let Me Down, and you can learn more about John Carr at deucemusic.com. Quick break, short break, come back with a menage a scammer with Carolyn.